The Lord is good. Now, before we sit, can you declare that to somebody? Say, I declare that the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom. One, two, let's go. I declare that the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, and I'm being filled with the knowledge of His will. In all spiritual wisdom and understanding, as a result of this, I'm walking in the manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing Him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work. And I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to His word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area. And it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus. All right, amen. I said amen.
Amen.
So once again, I declare with you the understanding has come to you today in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Clarity, direction. Receive it this evening in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
The book of Jeremiah chapter 23 is where we're going to start from today. I have a suspicion I may have a title for what I want to talk about, but let me not give you the title yet until we have brought the point out. We have been looking at the pursuit of God, and I'm happy that we are making good progress in reestablishing what is important in life as children of God. We are leaving behind the things that have to do with childhood, in which God is about solving my problems, in which faith is about acquiring something that I did not have before. We are leaving those things behind. They are the things of childhood. You know, that is why some people pull a lot of crowd, even though they are deceiving people. Who is the real man of God? Listen, if you want to know who to follow, don't follow anybody for the miracles he or she is performing. Follow them for the word of truth that is emanating out of their mouths. That when they open their mouths, Christ is revealed. If you don't have that, please go back home. You are not following a true person. Please, I hope you are getting my point here. What I'm always saying, we are refocusing again on what matters. That's what we are saying. And we're talking about pursuing God, realizing that everything on the earth is temporal. I told you one of our brothers, they found him in a particular program. Say, what are you looking for here? He said, look, that success we are teaching in my church is good though, but we have succeeded. Let's come and look for Jesus. That's in my life, I'm tired of looking for success. How long will I live looking for success? Let me look for something that is eternal. He said, I've come to look for Jesus. That I've come to look for Jesus. Many people are still going to church looking for success. You know what Jesus said? They came to him. Let me tell you something. It is not today that people started following Jesus for what they will get.
Yes.
And it's still happening today. You see men pack their families, everything, and travel. We are going to camp. The camp can be 10 hours away. And you think they love the Lord. You see people travel, take leave, and leave what they are doing and travel somewhere. What were they looking for? These people came to look for Jesus also. And when he saw them, he said, Master, when did you get here? He didn't even answer them. He said, you are not looking for me for any other thing than the fact that when you contact me, you get free food. That this free food is what you came looking for. Financial breakthrough is what you came looking for. Are you getting my point? Open doors is what you came looking for. How to sow your seed and have it multiply so that you too can become a millionaire is what you are looking for. And he shook his head. He said, don't labor for the food that perishes. He wasn't talking about those who went to work. He was talking to those who came to him. I don't know whether you're getting what I'm going to say here. The people he was rebuking did not go to the office. The people he was rebuking came to him. And he was asking them, why are you coming to me? And he said, look, let me tell you why you're coming to me. It is because of the free food. It's because of breakthrough that I give. It is because of the free bread that you ate the other day. He said, don't do that. Don't labor for the food that perishes. Let me say it again. If a Christian gives money so that God can multiply in it, he's giving for the food that perishes. If a Christian says, look, I'm going to stay all night so that God can give me promotion in the office, he's laboring for the food that perishes. In recent times, it has struck me that Jesus is saying, I don't want those things to ever be a focus. Don't pray about them. Don't study the scripture for them. Don't do anything for them. Because the people he was rebuking, they came to him. They did not go to the Pharisees. They came to him. They did not go to Herod. They came to him. They did not go to their offices. They left everything they had to do to come to him. Yet he looked at them. He said, you are laboring for the food that perishes. That's why we're talking about the pursuit of God. He said, labor for the one that endures to eternal life. So ask yourself, I've stayed up all night to achieve what? If what I stayed up all night to achieve would not endure to eternal life, it was a waste of time. I don't know whether I'm getting my point here. I'm saying to us, therefore, let's learn what Jesus was saying. Let's make the knowledge, and that's it. He said that you will give them eternal life. He said this is eternal life, that they will know you, the only true God, and Jesus, whom you have sent. He said that is eternal life. That is the only thing that's worth laboring for. And what I found out, like I said the other day, he said if you labor for that, all other things will be added to you. That's what he said. Many blessings we're asking for. God said, there are not things I should be giving you because you are laboring like this. There are things that you should attract because divinity is inside you. Are you getting my point here? So there are things you just attract. There are things you should attract. There are things that just by virtue of your presence, you will just attract. So it says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. He said, don't pray the way the Gentiles pray. How do Gentiles pray? Father, we will increase financially. Let's begin to pray financially, in the name of Jesus. Money, come. Jesus just shakes his head. Said, that's a gentilic prayer. Don't mind, you know, I always manufacture English to make my messages clear. That's a Gentile prayer. Even though you are putting my name to it, it does not make it Christian prayer. It is still a Gentile prayer. If you check scripture, prayer for needs for Christians are supposed to be dismissive. What I mean is dismissive. Yes, something is on your heart, you take it and hand it over to God. Lord, hold it. I don't want it on my heart. There are prayers I refuse to pray in ministry. That is when I want to pray it. I said, Lord, I can't. Let me give you an example. You know, if you're a man of God, you want to do program, you want the place to people to come, you hire a hall, you want it to fill up. I've prayed that prayer before, but many years ago, not in recent times. I don't pray it. You know why? I have found that if you ask for it, God can give it to you. But what are you really asking for? This issue of counting numbers, I don't know how to do it. If we are going to, like now, we'll go to do a program in Port Harcourt quarterly. We pray for the program. But if I'm the one leading prayer, watch it. The words that I use are things like this. Lord, you have sent your word by us to Port Harcourt. Let everybody that your spirit is calling, let them come. There are people there that need this word. Somebody needs breakthrough as a result of this word. Somebody needs deliverance as a result of this word. We ask that person, let your spirit activate coming for the person. That's how I pray. I will not derive pleasure, you know. The flesh will, let me just say, the flesh will, you know, you fight the flesh. That yes, we got a hall that sees 5,000 people and it will fill to the brim, praise God. People can use manipulation to bring people into that place. Yes. So you say, what is the prayer we're supposed to pray? The prayer is that, Lord, this word, it will come out freely. When the name of Jesus is mentioned, like the disciples prayed, signs and wonders will be done. Lord, understanding will come to people. The blind will receive direction by the entrance of your word. Let nothing hinder the free flow of your word. We pray about that one. But as for things that look like satisfy the flesh, make you feel good, that yes, you're not a big man, you can draw crowd. Believe me, I'm not saying that my flesh doesn't want to do it though. I did tell my flesh, yeah, I will not agree. When I finish praying that prayer, I leave it there. It's a deliberate thing, I leave it there. Why? Because the Lord said, labor for the food that endures to eternal life. I don't need to tell you. We don't pray about offering. God, let the offering people will give you plenty. Please, I hope you're getting my point here. Now, what I'm going to say is that we just ignore the things of the flesh. We labor for the thing that endures to eternal life. Now, you have that kind of attitude. You know what Jesus said? All other things will be added to you. All other things will be added to you if you have that kind of attitude. Let us stop making physical things that plead to the flesh. Let's stop making them the focus of our prayer. What Jesus taught us, that those prayers must be dismissive. When Paul talked about it in Philippians chapter 4, he said, let them be made known unto God. Then the peace, that's the interesting part. He did not even say, when Paul was explaining it, he didn't say God will give it to you, even though it's implied. But he said that what does God give you as a result? The peace of God that passes all understanding. What does that peace do for you? It removes that pressure on your soul that if I don't achieve this by December, it means I have failed. It removes that pressure. Many things we are reaching for and grabbing onto. God said, until you can smile and be happy without it, I won't give you. Because if I give it to you, your joy will be locked on that thing. Your joy will be locked on it. You won't want any other thing to happen in your life again. That will be the source of your joy. I want your joy to be in me and in me alone. Every other thing must be what? An addition. Please, I hope you're following my point here. That is true Christianity we are talking about. This is not time, look, we are no longer focusing on testimony of how I gave 1,000 naira and I got 1,000,000. And then the Lord now said to me, sold that 1,000,000, I gave that 1,000,000 and I got 500,000,000. Today now I'm a man operating at the level of 500,000,000. Who is so like me today? You give that kind of testimony in my presence, one of two things. I either believe that you are telling lies, or you are very childish. That's all. I will not think if it's a serious thing. If God did it for you, fine. If God did it for honestly, fine. But most of the times, I believe you're not telling the truth. Because I know the way God operates. He doesn't operate like that. He doesn't want us to be running after, you know, big money must not be the motivation for those who are hearing the preaching of the word of God. Please, I hope you're getting my point here. That's what we're trying to say here. Now, we're saying what is the important thing is the knowledge of God. Is being rightfully related with him. And Enoch walked with God. And God liked him so much, the Lord was so fond of him, that one day he disappeared. Why? The Lord relocated him from the earth, without death, to heaven. What happened? God was fond of Enoch. And I want to continue on that particular light today. That's why I said read that Jeremiah chapter 23. So open to the book of Jeremiah chapter 23. Let's continue from that point. You will see something. I want to explain some things today, which I believe they are quite profound. As I was meditating, I said, dear Lord, help me to deliver this thing easily. The book of Jeremiah chapter 23. Let me start reading from verse... let's read from verse 16. Thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who are prophesying to you. They are leading you into futility. They speak a vision of their own imagination, not from the mouth of the Lord. I'm in verse 17 now. They keep saying to those who despise me, the Lord has said you will have peace. And as for everyone who walks in the stubbornness of his own heart, they say calamity will not come upon you. Now listen to verse 18, which is why I'm reading this. But who has stood in the counsel of the Lord, that he should see and hear his word? Now, look at verse 19. Now, verse 18 says, who has given heed to his word and listened? Behold, the storm of the Lord has gone forth in wrath, even a whirling tempest. It will swell upon the head of the wicked. The anger of the Lord will not turn back until he has performed and carried out the purposes of his heart. In the last days, you will clearly understand it. Now, notice verse 21. I did not send these prophets, but they ran. I did not speak to them, but they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel, please follow this, then they would have announced my words to my people and would have turned them back from their evil way. Now notice this. They would have announced my words to my people. And by that announcement, they would have turned them back from their evil way and from the evil of their deeds. Now, let me just stop reading here. Now, please, that's what I want to read. I read from verse 16 to verse 22. Now, the key words I want from there are the word prophets, prophesying, and the counsel of the Lord, which we find in verse 18, and which he repeated again in verse 22. That is, God has what they call his counsel. Now, please, I want to read that from God's Word Translation, because there is an expression there that God's Word Translation uses. There's a way it expresses it that's so profound. Please, let me just quickly switch over there and read it. God's Word Translation,
Let me read from verse 17. They keep saying to those who despise me, the Lord says everything will go well for you. They tell all who live by their own stubborn ways, nothing bad will happen to you. Now notice verse 18. Who is in the Lord's inner circle and sees and hears his word? Who pays attention and listens to his word? Notice that. I'm bringing that one because of that expression, the Lord's inner circle. When he talked about God's counsel, he was talking here, God's word translation used the expression, the Lord has an inner circle. And that is the place from where prophets arise. Prophets don't just get up and go and speak. They must first be people that have been called into the Lord's inner circle. I'm going somewhere with all of this. That's verse 22. If they had been in my inner circle, they would have announced my words to my people. Now, what am I saying here? Jeremiah was explaining to them, the Lord was speaking to Jeremiah, that what people need to be, all right, where they need to be is in the Lord's inner circle. My message today is about that Lord's inner circle. That is, it is from there that things are controlled on the earth. Now, please, just pause. Take a pause there, all right? You remember that I've stopped somewhere. We'll come back to it in a moment. Quickly open your Bible to the book of Hebrews chapter 11. I want to pick up some speed now. In the book of Hebrews chapter 11, he says something here. By faith, we know it, so don't bother opening to it. I think I'll just recite it off head. He said, by faith, we understand that the words were framed by the word of God. So that the things that we see did not come out of the things that are visible. Now, please follow that. That is, by faith, we understand. Now, when he was talking about the words, he was not talking about earth, Venus, you know, sun, moon, and all of that. That's the earth. Now, physical things. But when he was talking about the world, he was talking about the events happening on the earth. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, that the epochs were framed by the word of God, that governments were framed by the word of God, that the structure of society, all right, was framed by the word of God. He said, by faith, we understand. So that the things that we see do not come out of things that are visible. What am I going to say? You see here people say, now, I keep on using, God help me, I don't know how I'm going to solve it, but I keep on using our country as an example, because I keep in touch with things that are going on. Now, people will tell you, they will settle down like this and tell you, this is the reason why America is great. This is what Nigeria needs to do to become great. The other day, I was watching Ben Murray Bruce, and he was analyzing the things wrong with the aviation sector. And the man said, I wish I had not come into government. He said, now that I'm in government, he's a senator. He said, I see things and I almost go crazy. That why will a man do this? He explained how Nigerians, that President Obasanjo said, I was there. When he told me to place a call, all right, through to Richard Branson. And they called Richard Branson and invited him to come and invest in Virgin Nigeria. What became Virgin Nigeria? You understand? And he said that why did the thing collapse? That Obasanjo promised that man a particular, you know, spot in MM1 from where he would do local flight and international flight. That somebody came up one day and decided that, no, we are moving it to MM2. All right. And the man got angry and left. Now, why did the man get angry? It was not because you now put him at a disadvantage, but because we had an agreement, you are breaking the agreement without compunction. There was a time when a passenger first came into power. All right. I remember my mother-in-law is a very active member of NASIMA, and they went for meetings with investors that will come from my brother and all of that. And they said something, she reported something to us that one of them said that when they were talking about power, you know, security and all of those things. Say one white man said, look, forget power. We can bring our power. That power is not our problem. And you saw MTN do it. You saw Econet do it. These guys brought their power. Their power is not our problem. They said the reason, number one reason we don't invest in your country is that if somebody breaches a contract, where do we go? And you saw what happened with Econet. They breached contract with Econet. It took them 10 years to get judgment from London. Not from Nigeria. I was watching Ben Murray Bruce talk about different things. He said, now that I'm in government, it is frustrating that FAN will tax the airlines to death. Those were his words. That Nigerian airlines are taxed to death. That when international people pay 10%, they pay 30. He said, there is no way on earth they will survive. And that's why they never survive. He said, being in government now is painful to my soul because I see things I otherwise would not have seen. And according to him, why is it like that? And that's why I'm talking about it. That's my own message. I'm not here to preach, you go angry, I'm getting angry with government. Why was it frustrating him? That if you've been following our teaching on Ecclesiastes, you know that what Solomon was saying. That life can be frustrating. That was exactly what Solomon was saying. That life can be frustrating. That was what people looked at and said, better is the dead than the living. And better than both of them is the one who has never lived to see this amount of injustice. Solomon was not saying life was bad for everybody. He was saying when you see injustice, you will declare also that better is the dead than the living. Like I said the other time, that's why suicide bombers find it easy to blow themselves up, because they feel that the world as it is unjust. And they say without uttering the words, that better is the dead than the living. And better than both of them is the one who has never lived to see all this nonsense. We're looking at the Ecclesiastes, that life can be frustrating. But when he was talking, I kept on laughing. See, he was trying to say, if we can structure this like this, the country will be better. And I felt like saying, Oga, you know, people like you don't believe in God or faith the way we do. But what you don't realize, what you are asking for, if you like, get angry from now till tomorrow. Get angry from now till tomorrow. Only God can do it. Some people say, one man was you know, a lot of things fly around social media. Now Nigerians like to pray. And when you finish praying, you know, you won't do what you're supposed to do. When I finished replying, I said, I don't believe, they say it was a professor that wrote it. I said, a professor can't be this stupid to write this. Because this is total idiocy. It shows you don't know life. Because even Apple, what's his name? Steve Jobs says something. He said, you can never connect the dots going forward. That you can only connect the dots looking backwards. He said, therefore in life, you have to believe in something. Call it luck. Call it karma. Call it this. He said, but you just have to believe in something. Because there is no way on earth you can plot this outcome of things ahead. It's only when they have walked, you will look back and say, how did I get here? You will now plot the dots. So he said, when you are moving in life, say, just believe that things will work. He said, call it karma. Call it whatever it is you want to call it. He said, but just believe in something that is beyond you. That's Steve Jobs. That's what he said. These are men who have materially succeeded. And they are telling you, forget this thing. Anything we write in a book is hindsight. Now, you see, what am I talking about? I'm talking about faith. By faith, we understand. I felt like telling Ben Bruce, dear brother Bruce, this is what faith is about. By faith, we understand that it is not that men knew how to arrange that they became great. It was that God decreed greatness upon them. And that greatness in manifesting arranged things for them. Look, because it gets to a point in life, why God would just say, henceforth, you can never breach contracts. And when he releases that word, it will go into the country that men can't breach contracts in this country anymore. Suddenly, one Supreme Court justice will be appointed. Nigeria Judicial Council will make some decisions. We have an attorney general that for a period of 8 years, they'll be focused on enforcing agreements. It becomes a culture in the society. People will now say that it was when we were able to do this that we moved forward. But they won't understand it was when the time to move forward came that we were able to do it. It's the other way around. I'm trying to explain the meaning of that Hebrews chapter 11 verse 3 to you. When it says by faith, we understand that the words were framed by the word of God. It is words that frame things. Things don't come out of the things that are visible. That is what I'm trying to say in all of these things. Things don't come out of the things that are visible. So that if you say America is a great nation in the world today, listen to me. One of the things that the book of Daniel will do for you, if you read the book of Daniel, Daniel was so accurate. Look, that statue that Nebuchadnezzar saw, the head of gold. There's something that I understood last week. I don't want to distract you by talking about it now. You know, it's in my body. I must say it. Are you getting my voice? So I can have some vent. there's this mental image you have. I see the world has been progressing over the years. So this is the most technologically advanced years we have had because we have been moving forward all the time. But it's not true. Now, I don't know how technologically advanced they were, but the world went down for a long time. When Nebuchadnezzar was in power, the world was better technologically advanced. They were more comfortable than when the Romans were in power centuries later. Why? He was the head of gold.
I don't know whether I get my point. He was the head of gold. He had technology, the type that Romans did not know about. Now, let me get back to my main message. What I'm going to say is this. You will see, Daniel will tell you that I beheld in a vision. I saw a goat. Are you getting my point? And he had a single horn. And then I saw a ram. He had one horn and a smaller horn. You know, he will keep on describing things to you that he saw. And the angel will come to him and say, do you understand that? Daniel said, no, I didn't understand. He said, a king will arise from the south. And that king will arise. He will describe events that will not take place for the next 200 years, 500 years, 1,000 years. I don't know whether you follow my point. Yes. Nebuchadnezzar said, Daniel interpreted to him, you, O Nebuchadnezzar, you are the head of gold. After you, he said, a kingdom will arise that will not have glory as much as you. And then another kingdom will arise. Then finally you see a kingdom that is very strong. Then they will breed too. And he's describing things that will happen centuries later. And when they will begin to happen, events will take place to play out what Daniel already decided. But something you should know is there, is that he will tell you that, for example, this is the decree of the watchers. When Nebuchadnezzar was going to be judged, this was a decree of the watchers. That is, there are people that watch the events on the earth and they decide what will happen next. Are you getting my point here? God said to Nebuchadnezzar, he opened his mouth and said, this is Babylon the Great that built the strength of my mind for the glory of my majesty. And the watchers were angry, so they decreed judgment upon him. Now, this is the point. Remember the judgment. The judgment was that for 7 seasons, you'll be out of power. And Nebuchadnezzar testified that when I returned, more glory was delivered to me. I don't know whether you're getting my point here. That is, for the period that he was out of power, God increased Babylon. And like I say all the time when I'm preaching about that, what was he trying to say by that? What the Lord was trying to say? It wasn't that God ran him mental as the issue. It was that God kept Babylon while he was out of power. And God put him back after his sins came back to him. Of course, the first sense that I returned was, he said, now I praise the God of heaven. When he understood that, that was when God put him back in power. And God gave him more glory than before. To prove one point to him, Nebuchadnezzar understood that Babylon was not built by the strength of my might. Neither was it built for the glory of my majesty. That is, I'm just an actor in what God is doing. So if anybody tells you America is great because some people would know how to plan, just know they don't know anything. Just know they don't know anything. When I found out why America speaks English today, I was surprised. That the day they voted on which country, which language would be their national language, they lost to German by 1 vote. They would have been speaking Dutch today. You get my point? By 1 vote, which you know is because one man probably didn't come for the voting. There are men who ruled have testified that whatever is moving this country forward is not us. They've testified. I'm trying to explain that scripture by that the words were framed by the word of God. Daniel will interpret a dream for Nebuchadnezzar on events that will take place 500 years down the line. He will tell you that a king will arise. I mean, the rising, is it the goat or the ram? I think it was the goat that they called him later on. Was this man, what is his name? Alexander the Great. This guy in a few years conquered the whole world. And when he died, he was 33 or 30 something, young boy. Having conquered the whole world. But the ability to conquer the whole world was prophesied hundreds of years ahead. That he will arise and he will charge to the left, he will charge to the right, he will charge to the back, to the front, and nobody will be able to stop him. Exactly what happened. One day I heard David Paulson analyze something that happened. A prophecy that was given concerning Tyre, one of those cities. That the Lord said that there will be not, that everything will be removed from there. That the place will become a place where, what do you call it? Not jackals now. Fishermen hang their nets. And this was a city that was thriving. That somebody told you that Lagos would be a place where people will be hanging their nets. He said the day the prophecy was going to be fulfilled, you know what happened? Hundreds of years later, Alexander the Great came, attacked that area. And the men had this thing. They had an island just off their shore. So that when armies come to invade, they run into boats and flee to the next island. And Alexander the Great did not have a navy. Are you getting my point? He didn't have a navy, so he could only do land warfare. I don't need to tell you he didn't have aircraft. Do I need to tell you that? So he had to fight. It was only infantry and stuff like that. So now his enemies have moved and crossed off the waters, off the shore, to an island from where they could see the people on the other end. So they are, and that's how he was. He didn't used to take nonsense. What do we do? He looked. He said, we'll go and meet them. They said, there's no way. I mean, we can't get enough boats to move across. He said, build a ramp. How do we build a ramp from here to there? He said, find anything in sight and build a ramp. I'm going to meet them on that island. What was the thing they found? Every building in that city, they broke it down and carried the blocks and threw into the water. By the time they were done, there was no building standing. His soldiers had broken every building and carried the bricks and flung them into the water. And a prophet, I don't have the prophecy now, had prophesied that that city will be removed from where it is and thrown into the water. When God was going to fulfill it, he made Alexander the Great angry. And the young conqueror looked and said, you guys are hanging a few kilometers off the shore, laughing at me. I will show you what I am. He told his men, build me a ramp. Where do we get things to build ramp from? He said, are these not buildings? What are they doing standing? The guy spent days, weeks, breaking buildings down and moving inch by inch into the waters until they went there and killed everybody on the island. Listen to me. It was not the wisdom of Alexander the Great. It was that when the mouth of the Lord commands, his spirit will always go out and go and effect. I feel like telling Ben Murebrew, say, don't worry. You are getting frustrated like Solomon. But when the time to favor, I'm going somewhere. When that time comes, a man will just arise and say, who broke rules in this place? And that's how I'll tell you. Somebody like Strive Masiwa, a praying man, he came to Nigeria and said, I will not bribe anybody. According to his testimony, James Ibori said, I will show you what I'm made of. He said, I will show you who I am too. I won't give you a dime. There were quarrels with Akwa Ibom State governor. That's how they go governor. Another one or two other governors. They should move money. We're talking about millions of dollars. They are finding it safe and stuff like that now. It's not today. Nobody today. Men have been doing that for some time. But Strive said, as a Christian, corruption must end with me. So anytime he's going to do business, he prays. They are coming to Nigeria to bid. Back in Zimbabwe, back in South Africa, his men are joining hands. They are fasting and praying. They are declaring the word of God. And meanwhile, he's sitting down here and negotiating. You cannot get him to give you a dime. The powerful men in Nigeria said, we will show you what we are made of. He said, me? I'm putting my own words now. I will show you that I'm a son from heaven. Do you know they succeeded? Ejected him, his men, his children, their wives out of Nigeria and deported them. That was injustice. Solomon said, this is bad. I felt bad when I saw injustice. He said, but I realized that the day is coming that God will judge evil. This man said, don't worry. He activated that word of Solomon that God will judge evil one day. He filed cases after against them. It took him 10 years. When I was reading his blog, he said, listen, that there are laws you don't flout in this world. He mentioned one particular law, I've forgotten it now. He said it was crafted by the Americans and the British. If you break any of their rules, they will find you where they have to find you. And in that process, he's one of the reasons why James went to jail. Listen, and tell people like that better be careful when God is moving. I told you that day that Desmond Tutu said something to the clerk that time. He said, the time to end apartheid has come. It will end whether you want it or not. See, what I'm just asking you to do is to join what God is doing now. It took that man 10 years, he won his cases. All of them. But he started on one thing. He said, I make up my mind. In Africa, corruption will not thrive. He's the man that said that Christians don't understand how to activate the power of God to do what God wants them to do. That when he needed money, he activated the power of God, and raised $1.5 billion to buy Econet out of the public space. Didn't want to be a publicly quoted company anymore. Bought everybody else out with $1.5 billion, which he raised by praying. Listen, what am I going to say here? I'm still trying to emphasize when he said that the words were framed by the word of God. That's what I'm going to emphasize. that the worlds were framed by the word of God. No political party can develop a country, a nation. Every nation has a history that has been crafted by God. And you see something, I said the other time, that many things have been written in heaven. There are things written. Listen, this is how Satan writes his things. Satan writes like this. He comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Now, he doesn't have power. All power belongs to God. So what is he? He's an accuser of the brethren. He starts accusing. And from God, he gets judgment. And based on those judgments, he writes the destiny, the doom of every place where he has the opportunity to write it. But God says something. I seek for a man who will stand before me and stand between me and these people so that I will not have to allow. Now, please watch my words now. That which Satan has demanded, because you must understand, Satan understands these spiritual principles. Jesus said, Simon, Simon, Satan has demanded to sift you all like wheat. Satan is not stupid. He doesn't come to God to demand what he doesn't have right to. And that is why God raises intercessors. That is why he raises intercessors who will speak in court against Satan, bringing new arguments that he doesn't have. For example, Satan will know, he may know that God can forgive, but he won't come to court and say, God, you are a merciful God. But the intercessor will come, like Moses. You told me your name is the merciful God. The merciful God. Are you getting my point here? That's what he does. So Jesus said to Peter, I have prayed for you. Now, this is the point. Please follow me. All that Jesus could do at that time, the dose of energy available could only save one person, Peter. So he said to him, this is literal Greek. Satan has desired to sift you all, or demanded actually to sift you all like wheat. But I have prayed for you, Peter. That's literal Greek. If you go and read, it's only King James has it well captured, because you, ye, is different. Satan has desired to sift you all like wheat. But I've prayed for you, Peter, that your faith will not fail. And then when you have been converted as a result of the prayer that I have prayed, you will turn around now and strengthen your brethren. What am I saying? Like we preached last time, if people don't rise up and say no to the thing that Satan has written that he wants to use to destroy the nations, the destiny of God for that nation will not come to pass. That destiny will not be manifested. Please follow what I'm going to say here. I'm talking about the fact that by faith we understand how things happen. By faith we know that it is not all this OPEC meeting that can show up the value of oil. You will see where I'm going today. I pray I can get there. You will know that certain men can sit in their rooms and say in their prosperity, God, they have insulted you. Therefore, we will break the staff of bread. And God will say to the angels, a decree has been released. Crash the price of oil until it goes for $15 a barrel. Until Nigerians will look at their money, it will not be worth more than the piece of paper next to it. This is how things work on this earth. No, listen. The words were prepared by words. I'm going somewhere. You will see when God wants, listen, this is how God does it too. On this earth, he says the Father judges no man, but he has given all judgment to the Son. There's a way, there's what Jesus was talking about there. There's a principle for the running of the affairs of the earth. This is how it works. God says, I want to run the affair of this earth. So he created the heavens and the earth. And I said, how do we effect what we want on the earth? He said, we'll put our representative there. The first son of God that came to the earth, his name was Adam. And what was Adam's job? God put Adam in the garden. He now said, cultivate and do what? And keep it. He told him, name all the animals. This is the interesting part. God didn't tell him what to call the animals. He told him he gave him as a duty. You name the animals. And he told him this, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth. He said to him, you should do what? Have dominion. Told him to subdue the earth. The word of God is not advice, it's empowerment. So Adam had the power
power to do all of this. Adam had the power to do all of this. What does that mean? Adam will walk. And walking with God, he will be learning divine wisdom. And he will say that this river shouldn't flow this way anymore. It has watered that area enough. I want it redirected this way. Now listen to this. God will come in the cool of the evening and discuss with Adam. And when God shows Adam the best way to get some things, then what are they discussing? God, listen to me. God cannot effect what he wants unless Adam decrees it. And that was why he used to come in the cool of the evening to talk. Adam had power. Listen to me. Adam was God's first prophet. I'm talking about prophets. Remember, we started from inner circle. Adam was in God's inner circle, which meant that he and the Lord talked, and the Lord gave him what to do concerning matters on the earth. He taught him, they interacted, and he said, this is my plan in the heavens. Adam would look at it. Adam would come down to the earth and begin to listen to these words and begin to prophesy. Adam was a prophet. And as the man was walking, Satan said, things will spoil you. We have done it before, we have to do it again. I don't want to go into that talk now, but there's a reason why the earth was formless and void. There was a reason. It was formless and void because God poured his wrath upon it and destroyed everything that was there then. Now, Adam, now we are recreating everything. So, let's spoil it again. Satan was saying, how do we do get that done? Let's look for this man's weak spot. What was his weak spot? Eve. I don't want to talk in details about what happened there now. But he got Adam. And then, that was where he began to lose his authority. And as a result, years later, that's what I'm going to. As a result, years later, God had to destroy everything again. And raise another prophet. And what God does every time is to raise a prophet. Now listen to me. So he said in Amos, open your Bible to the book of Amos. Please, I hope you are following me.
Yes, sir.
Okay, you're following me clearly. Okay. Remember, we're talking about God's inner circle. You see where I'm going, though? Please, I'm sure you're wondering, what's the relevance of all these things that you're saying, this guy? Amos chapter what? I didn't say. You couldn't read my mind. Amos chapter 3. He said he tried. Amos chapter 3. Hear this word which the Lord has spoken against you, sons of Israel, against the entire family which he brought up from the land of Egypt. You only have I chosen among the families of the earth. You see this. Why did he choose them? I don't want to start on that now. Forget all this talk. People talking about Israel is special, you know, for eternity. Jesus is a Jew. Let me not go there. You only have I chosen of all the families of the earth. Therefore, I have to punish you, he said, for all your iniquities. Do two men walk together unless they have made an appointment? Now, literally, unless they are in agreement. Now, to save my time, I'm just going to continue. He was asking those rhetorical questions. He now got to verse 7. He says, surely the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secret counsel to his servants, the prophets. Are you seeing that? A lion has roared, he said, who will not fear? The Lord God has spoken, who can but prophesy? Let me just stop here. Now, why did God raise Israel up? It was to form them into a nation of his prophets. Now, that was why he chose them. It did not start with Israel. You go back, it started with Abraham, not even before Abraham. But Abraham is the first one we're going to talk about. What I want you to note about Abraham is this. If you're going to read Psalm 105, for time's sake, please, we won't read all of these things.
But the Bible says that he led them from one nation to the other, and he didn't allow anybody to do them any wrong. How did he do that? He said, touch not my anointed, and do my prophets no harm. And if, please open to it so that you know what I'm saying. And then he was not talking about Isaiah, Jeremiah, Amos, you know, and all those men. Psalm 105. He was talking about men like Abraham, Isaac, you know, Jacob. There are 12 sons. Look at what he said in verse, which verse am I in now? Verse 8. He said, he has remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations, the covenant which he made with Abraham, the oath he swore to Isaac, confirmed it to Jacob, saying, verse 11, I will give you the land of Canaan. Verse 12, when they were only a few men in number, very few and strangers in it, and they wandered from nation to nation and from one kingdom to another people, he permitted no one to oppress them, and he reproved kings like, what's the name, Abimelech, Pharaoh. He rebuked kings for their sakes. What did he say? Do not touch my anointed ones, and do my prophets no harm. Next question. Where did you hear Jacob prophesy? When was Isaac prophesying? The way we know prophets. When was Abraham prophesying? The way we know prophets. This is a fact. They were the prophets of God. What were they? That's what I'm trying to explain to you now. The prophets were of God were people who were in counsel with God. And you know, this Bible is interesting. It's condensed. If you look closely and see some things here, your eyes will open. What am I going to say? For God to effect things on the earth, he would discuss with Abraham. Abraham will be in agreement, and then Abraham will prophesy. Now, you and I don't realize he prophesied, because many times it's not recorded like that. He will just, you just hear, what his name? Jacob, bless his sons. And say, this one, you're my firstborn, but you will not excel. You think it's prayer. They were not prayers, they were prophecies. The man was arranging events that will come up later. He and God had spoken. Why was it that he was blind? And they put Ephraim and Manasseh before him. And they put the hands like this. And they said, no, sir, because they have put it correctly, that Manasseh is the older one. Put your right hand on him. So the man moved them around again. The man crossed his hands, even though he was blind. Are you getting my point? Well, was not a prayer. That was a prophecy. Do you get my point? This man will sit down and begin, Moses will begin to give you what will happen later on. Issachar is like a strong donkey. And he was not talking about one person. He was talking about a whole lineage. He will tell you the scepter will not depart from Judah. Judah was going to die too. He was dead already. These men were not praying. They were prophesying. That was why he said, do my prophets no harm. They were the ones arranging what will happen next. Without them, the world will have no order. So when you try to take a man out who is ordering the world, God disciplines you. So he rebukes kings for their sakes. They don't touch my anointed. This is the man with whom I am arranging this universe. When men were doing research, sometimes, in fact, one day somebody told me that he hopes Dangote is being guarded by DSS. You know Dangote, Aliko Dangote? He said that my friend in America said, if DSS is not guarding him by now, Nigeria has a problem. You should know a man that must not die. Are you getting my point? That's what they made. Touch not my anointed. Do no harm to the man building my refinery. Are you getting my point here? Who is going to... No. You know, I'm telling you. Some people say that, have asked government favoring one person. You employ 50 people, we will favor you too. No, not so life be. Not so life. Why people want to say, we should treat everybody equally? Nobody treats everybody equally. Nobody has, even God does not.
That's right, sir.
Oh, he doesn't. He doesn't. He doesn't treat everybody equally. There are people who will look and say, this thing you have done is deserving of death, but because of your father.
Ah, Solomon offended him. He said, "Well, not for David. You for know who I be." That's why he doesn't treat you equally. That is why if you sin and you confess, he forgives. Why? Jesus died for you and you have believed. And this is the interesting part. That's why he doesn't tolerate nonsense from you. That's why many of you are not rich yet. You say why? God said, "I will never let you prosper using this worldly method. You I have chosen. Therefore, I must punish you for your iniquity. Things that people get away with, you try it. Some people put cocaine in their pocket, walk across to America, nothing happens. You sniff it in your nose, they will catch you. Why? Because God said, you I have chosen. Therefore, I have to punish you for your iniquity. You can't mess my things up. I'll just be watching you like that. Do you know what I invested to bring you to this level? So if you want to succeed, hey, you are believing God. Oh, no, you are at the end of the day, you say, you bribe us, you bribe us, you pay the bribe. God ruins your business. You say, what? God? Look at this man, he did it. He's a billionaire today. He said, you have to learn that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word. I will frustrate you until you get that point. That's what I mean by that's why many Christians are not rich today. You can work from tomorrow, labor from morning till night. God has stood against you and said, you will learn to prosper by faith. You will learn to sleep at the appropriate time. You will learn to succeed by declaring the word of God. He said, I did all of this to you that you will understand that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word. That's what he said to Amos. He said, you I have chosen of all the families of this earth. Therefore, I have no choice. I must punish you for every iniquity. Forget those people that tell you that God loves you. He's not going to do anything. He'll never rebuke you. He has too much plans for your life to treat you like that. You do what is bad. He beats you so bad, you'll be sick for 1 month. They will use prayer to raise you up. Next time, he said, you won't try him again? He said, Lord, lie. Who? Well, lie. As you see me so, I'm righteous. God said, fine. Why? I chose you for a purpose. You are not an anyhow person. I hope you are getting my point here. We're talking about prophets. Those men were not praying. They were prophesying. A man wants to die, he lines his sons up. And he takes them one by one, even though he's blind. When Isaac was going to miss it, if in the midst of their urukuruku, God still ensured that Jacob collected his inheritance. You know, that's one of the things I like. They say, bless me too, Father. He said, I have blessed your brother too much. He said, I have sustained him with grain and with new wine. He didn't give him a cobble. A prophet told the man, the earth will respond to you. The earth will cooperate with you. The earth will yield this increase for you. That's prophecy. It's not prayer. You must understand, the guy wasn't praying. He was saying that through you, the Messiah of God will come. God was doing all of these things to bring forth his Messiah. God has order. He wants the earth to move. He keeps on dropping prophets here and there. The first prophet was Adam. Abraham was also a prophet. I told you once, I was in the air at night. And I think we flew. I don't know whether it was. Anyway, it was either Dubai, because it was Emirates. Either it was Dubai or was New York. And it was night. I looked down, and when I saw, you know, I've seen Lagos at night, I get my point, from up, but go to countries that are massive, and you know, there's no power failure, and you look at night, when you see lights all through the horizon, shining bright, you will know what Abraham saw. See the stars, listen, I am convinced God took Abraham into the skies. And he showed him New York at night. He says, so will your descendants be. He took him down to Dubai. Took him down to Abu Dhabi. He showed him at night in this modern day. He said, have you seen it? Everything looked to Abraham like stars. If you have never seen light bulb, everything is like star. No, I'm telling you, just imagine, just Google some of these pictures. An American aircraft carrier at night. A battleship at night. If they show you from a distance, you will think you are seeing stars. Unless they are in their, what they call that mode? The stealth mode. Unless they are in a stealth mode, in which they have to shut everything down. If they put on their lights, and your name is Abraham, and they say, these are your descendants.
When they say sacrifice Isaac, he says, should I bring Ishmael and join? Because all of these things you are talking about. He says, so will your descendants be. You must understand, these are the results of the faith of Abraham. That's what I'm telling you. These guys were prophets too. When they took his wife, and he told Abimelech, go and return the man's wife. He will pray for you. He said, because he's what? A prophet. Please, I hope you are getting my point. What am I explaining to you? For you to understand that God now said, surely I can't do anything except, first of all, I reveal my secret counsels to my servants, the prophets. Why the prophets? Because they will now go out and go and do what? Prophesy. And it is that prophesying, releasing the word of God, that arranges the words. He said the words were framed by the released word of God. So that they may tell you that this country will fail. America said 2016, Nigeria will collapse. The prophet said no. And they gathered in their prayer houses and said, Father, in the name of Jesus, we receive peace from you. And they declared into the air, there will be no trouble. The prophet said no trouble. And there was no trouble. If the prophets had unanimously said there will be trouble. And that's why you have to be careful. Your mouth as a believer does not run commentary. It is the instrument of prophesying. Your mouth as a believer does not run commentary. It is the instrument for prophesying. Your mouth does not run commentary. It is the instrument for prophesying. Your mouth does not run commentary. It is what? The instrument for prophesying. You know, Satan, like he did in the garden, still doing it today. He tells Eve, and Eve follows him. You know what Eve is? Eve is a radio station. You know what Eve is now? A newspaper. What's Eve? Friends at work. They now sit down and convince Adam that you will not surely die. You can talk nonsense with your mouth. It's not your fault. It's just the way things are. And all the prophets now join and say, useless country, nonsense country, foolish leadership, rubbish place. And as they are decreeing it. They think they are commenting. Go and check how Moses prayed for the tribes of Israel. Check how Jacob prayed for his tribes, for the children of Israel, the 10 tribes of Israel. Those were not prayers. Those were revelations that men saw. And they decided to declare the word of God. The words were framed by the words those men spoke. Are you getting my point here? He said that the scepter will not depart from Judah until it gets to Shiloh. He said it was the decree. The scepter will not depart from Judah. So that when Israel sinned, that decree was out. God had to continue to preserve Judah so that the son of David would remain on the throne. Until finally, the son of David came and he now became a king forever. So that word is sealed permanently. But believe me, it came forth from the mouth of a prophet. But God said, listen, many people are running. I didn't talk to them. He said they should have been in my council. And that's where we began from. They should have been in my... Let's go back there. Jeremiah 23. I keep on telling believers, if everything you are saying is the same thing that everybody else around is saying, you are wrong. What did I say? You are wrong. If I hear comments from your mouth, I go down to the beer parlor, I hear the same thing. You are wrong. If I buy Guardian newspaper, I read all the analysis, I turn to you, and I hear you talk, and you are saying the same thing, you are wrong. The other day, some of my friends living abroad, they wrote a lot of commentary about what's going on in Nigeria. I felt like telling one of them. In fact, you know, there are times you abandon the talk when it's getting too much. I wanted to tell one of them, say, you see, everything you have told me is exactly what I hear from the streets. It's exactly what these comments online, here and there. You told me nothing different. How should I listen to you, child of God? You have not given me the counsel of God at all. You are declaring after the hearing of your ears and the seeing of your eyes. You have not been to the counsel of God to hear what he's saying, and you're talking. And this is the word of God for the children of God. If God hasn't said anything to you through revelation of his word, shut up. The Bible says, even a fool, when they keep silent, is considered wise. In the same manner, the child of God that has no revelation, if he says nothing, the demons think this guy is up to something. So they will give him space. When he opens his mouth, yeah, I finished this discussion. Like, the demon says, this guy's our friend. Serve him beer, two bottles. Why? Without revelation, he opened his mouth. All right, Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 18. I'm reading the God's Word translation again. He said, who is in the Lord's inner circle and sees and hears his word? Who pays attention and listens to his word? Now, that's what I'm bringing out. If you read further, and I say, I didn't send these prophets, yet they ran with their own message. I didn't speak to them, yet they prophesied. That's verse 21. In 22, he said, if they had been in my inner circle, they would have announced my words to my people. They would have turned back from their evil ways and the evil they have done. Now, let me just explain something here so that I can begin to, close my teaching. What am I saying all of these things? I'm going to explain what you and I are as children of God on the earth. That's why I'm going to explain all of these things. I'm going to emphasize that our duty is not to open our mouth and yak. Like last time we spoke, we said that, and I said it earlier today now, that things have been written. The one that will come to pass is the one that you and I, the prophets of God, declare will happen. It is not the one that economists, that is the news magazine now, The Economist, says it will happen. Listen, the wisdom of the wise routinely is confounded by God. That's what he does normally. There is something, I don't have it on my computer, and I didn't know I was going to quote it. I'll read it for you. There's a book I bought by Daniel Kahneman, something like that. He's an economist who won Nobel. He's a psychologist, I think, yes. Who won the Nobel Prize for economics a few years ago, based on one book he wrote, research he did. So he wrote a book based on it called Fast and Slow Thinking. So I bought the book. Big book. Compiled everything he has done. I've not finished reading it, all right? I read a bit of it. But there's something he said when I read somewhere in the book. Nobel Prize winner. Now, he said that, I copied that one out. He said they analyzed the predictions of the chief financial officers for major corporations worldwide. Check their predictions on what will happen in the world or how their company will go, you understand? How the economy will behave, the profits they will make, or whether the company will do well or not. They analyzed everything and found that on the average, they were more wrong than right. And listen to this. These were the top qualified people in the corporations. They were the chief finance officers of each of these corporations. Their chance of being right was like 48 to 49%. If you toss a coin, it's 50%. I don't know whether I get my point. They said pure guesswork was more accurate than their own analysis. And they were the men earning millions of dollars working for IBM, millions of dollars working for Microsoft, earning millions of dollars working for General Motors, working for the world's top corporations. The man analyzed all their predictions over the last many years and found that most times they were flat wrong, that you'll have done better. Take your coin, tumbum, tumbum, boom. Head, we win. Tails, we lose. And this was a scientific discovery. That is, he won a Nobel Prize for all these discoveries. What am I going to say? God routinely confounds the wisdom of the wise. That's what I'm trying to emphasize to you. So, BT that time, give me another, what's the name of the, there are big telecom companies in Europe. You know, they keep on buying and merging and those, they have Vodafone, yes, Vodafone. Obasanjo went to them and said, invest in GSM in Nigeria. And they said, Nigerians can't afford GSM license, GSM phones. Africa is too unstable. Akin Bello Osage said, when they asked him, what about the political instability in Africa, doing business in Africa? He said, it is counterbalanced by the technological instability in America. That, yeah, we have political instability. He said, well, in America, you have technological instability. That you can spend billions of dollars setting up something today. And that man will leave something tomorrow. Boom! It's gone. Yeah. And go and ask Motorola. If you remember, when I was getting married, Iridium. Motorola released more than 20-something satellites orbiting the Earth, invested billions of dollars so that you can have mobile telephony anywhere on the surface of the globe with that kind of briefcase around. Inmarsat and all of those things. Do you know what happened to Iridium? One day somebody wrote in the paper that except somebody buys up the satellites, that they will fall down to the Earth one by one. Iridium went bankrupt. Why? At that point, shortly after that, they released GSM. Once GSM became available, price kept on dropping. Using Iridium became nonsense. Motorola lost billions of dollars because new technology came up beside it. So they asked Akin Bello Osage, say, political instability. Say, don't worry. The profits from, despite that, is too heavy. So when they told come and invest in Nigeria, all of them said, it won't work. Akin Bello Osage, he said that they gave him analysis. The fair price for the license, $265 million. When he hit $265 million, he dropped out. He said, that is the worst business mistake of my life. He said, because in hindsight, we realize now that the real value of the license was $800 million. MTN, Econet, and Co. bought it for $285 million. The man dug close to gold and walked away. What am I going to say? Forget analysis. Are you getting my point? Forget all this analysis. Why? Because the things that are seen are not made out of the things that are visible. But my message is that what makes the things? It is the prophesying of what? The prophets. If they say that Nigeria will break 2016, if the prophets laugh in their face, that's it, it will not break. If everything is stable and the prophets say no, there will be no peace in that place. There will be no peace. But God said, the prophets I have raised, they must never run without being in my counsel. I hope you're getting my point here. He said, they must not run without being in my counsel. What does it mean to be in God's counsel? His inner circle. He said, listen, many are called, few are chosen. He said, but these are the people who are with him. The called, the chosen, and what? The faithful. People who make walking with God their habits. And that's what this, that's the whole thing. Everything we are preaching is about that. Talking about the pursuit of God. Let me end my message today here. You tell yourself, I must take my seat in the inner circle. Yeah, that is the message. Tell your neighbor, your seat. Tell your neighbor, your seat. In the inner circle. Grab it. Say, as for me, I am running for it. That's what I'm talking about. God didn't plant you in that. You know, Christians, we talk as if God sent us to go and enjoy life. When God moved Abraham, Abraham had a duplex. He had property. He had land. He was a landlord. People were returning money to him when he was in awe. God called him and said, get up. I will take you to a new land. And let me tell you, you must understand the power of visions. God used to show those people visions. Abraham saw you sitting down here. I pray you get my point. You know, there are things on this earth now that we don't realize that they didn't come by accident. I thought about it recently. You know, when God is doing something, a lot of things going around it. There are so many things going around it, you don't realize exactly what God is doing. You know, when God came to speak to Elijah, you know what happened? There was earthquake. What did Elijah say? He said, God is not there.
There was fire burning. What did Elijah say? God is not there. He saw a storm, he saw everything. What did he say? God is not there. Then he heard, King James says, a still small voice. My Bible says the sound of a gentle blowing. That is, for God to blow gently, a lot of noise goes on outside. So when God is doing something, many times you don't know exactly what he's doing. I'm going somewhere, you see what I'm saying? You know why God allowed printing presses to be invented? So that the word may be spread. Now all kinds of rubbish, including Playboy magazine, is printed with printing presses. That's all the noise. The cracking of rock. Fire burning. But the gentle blowing, which was the reason God said, I want production of paper, print, is because of scripture. And that's why till today. In fact, right now, you know, you can't, before the Bible was the best-selling book. And when they say Bible is the best-selling book, you know what they mean? They mean one version. Yeah. That is, when they say it's the best-selling book, there was a time it was the NIV. NIV was the best-selling book on the earth. Not all the Bibles. NIV alone. I don't know whether you're catching what I'm saying. NIV alone was the best-selling book on the earth. There was a time it, I think, was Revised Standard Version. Usually one Bible changes for another. If you dare put all the Bibles together, that is, if you add the sales of NIV, New Living Translation, New American Standard Bible, let's not talk about King James. If you add all of those things, no book comes close to number, that is, the gap between the Bible and the next book will be the gap between book number 2 and book number 1,000. Do you get my point? Why? That was the reason why God invented printing. And the release of the printing press coincided with when, what is his name? Shortly after that was when Martin Luther began to speak big English. Because all that English you see Martin Luther speak, it was because he read the book written by St. Augustine. Augustine was the one preaching what Martin Luther said, let's discuss. Martin Luther didn't come out to preach. He said, let us discuss. Let's discuss this thing. It's not right. Then the fire caught. Why? Men could read Bible now. They could read books. Are you getting my point here? That when God is doing something on the earth, a lot of things going around it. But the main thing he's doing, people often overlook it. God said, this my word will be available everywhere. My wife and I were analyzing, was it last night? Talking about Bibles. Why does it sell so much? I said, look at your house as an example. Everybody has one. And if anybody says, I can't find my own, you know what I mean? Mommy, but I kept it here. It's been good. I went and took it. Where is my Bible? After they say for 1 week, you go to the market. What do? You buy another one. It must not be heard that one of your children doesn't have a Bible. This one household. Why? You say, why? I'll tell you. Because one day, a prophet by the name Joel opened his mouth and said, it shall come to pass that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. We used to think before that is Holy Spirit alone. No. Jesus said, the word that I speak, they are what? Their spirit and their life. So when God wanted to pour out his spirit, he said, I will pour out my word upon all flesh. Before, it was a punishment. A death penalty punishment to own a Bible. Tyndale wrote Bible from Latin into German and they burnt him at the stake for it and picked all the ones that were in circulation and burnt them. Can you believe a church will burn a Bible? Now it's Islamists that burn Bibles. But God said, no, my word will come to pass. Tyndale lit that fire. Why? Because once a prophet opened his mouth and prophesied, that it will come to pass in the last days, that I will pour my spirit upon all flesh. That word was what went out and said, multiply this thing. Gone are the days of how many scrolls will you copy in one lifetime? What 10 men used to produce in 1 year, now is produced in 1 hour by one single press. And that's even old technology. That is the old tech. And all this story we are telling is still what? Old technology. The prophecy had not yet been fulfilled.
when that prophecy is wanted to be more fulfilled, when God raised a man and said, you will be a billionaire. His name is David Green. Owns a company's family in the U.S. called Hobby Lobby. And the man said, what is my job now that God has brought a new Roman road called the internet? I am going to make the Bible available in every language at the touch of a button. Now, if you have YouVersion of your Bible, that man is paying for it. About 2 years ago, I got an email from them that they are pushing to hit the 100 million download. As a few years ago, over 100 million downloads had happened. Not of Bibles, but of the app. Because in the app, within the app, you download like, they have over 1,000 languages available today. That was not normal. It is not a natural fallout of technology. It was that God released technology to fulfill a word that he gave, that shall come to pass. In the last days, I will pour my spirit upon all flesh. Now, where you say men cannot have Bibles, how do you prevent them from zendering it to each other? Saudi Arabia can build all the walls they want. Their wives and children in their rooms watch satellite TV and watch Christian networks. Yes. God pours his spirit upon all flesh, and there's nowhere that spirit does not enter. These days, every phone, every serious phone. Are you getting my point? Yes. No, I'm serious. You can lock things that nobody else can see. Only the man who puts it there knows what he put in there. So you can be in the house of the chief imam of Mecca and be studying Bible in his toilet. And there is nothing he can do about it. And it's going on right now. Let nobody tell you that Islam is what is advancing. You don't know what God is doing. A man gave a testimony. He was a Nigerian doctor who looked for greener pastures, went to Saudi Arabia those days, and he had a patient, a woman, who the husband loved, or the family loved. And they had tried everything, nothing. He said, if you guys don't mind, though, can I pray? They said, if it is his prayer that will solve this matter, pray now. The man prayed. The woman got well. The whole family converted. Nobody knows about it. Nicodemus Christians. They're all over the place. They are walking around Nicodemusly. You don't know. They are there. Just walking around Nicodemusly. Why? The Lord has spoken. I will pour my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Sometimes Christians will have a narrow-minded approach to these prophecies. That, and the girl is only 10. She's speaking in tongues. Forget that thing. There are 5-year-olds that have sat down and corrected their parents. That, daddy, this is not what uncle said in church. He said, the Bible says that's prophesying. You're waiting for the child to speak in tongues. Every day they are correcting parents. 6-year-olds are inside the cars. They went for Sunday school. You give them a Bible storybook, they've read it. You say something and they tell you, mommy, you are not supposed to say that as a child of God. You are waiting for him to say, hey, kele, bababa, hey, blah, 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 blah. He has just spoken in tongues and interpreted. Why? Because a prophet prophesied. Listen, that's on a global scale. I'm coming to a particular point here. I want you to know that God has sent you to go and prophesy somewhere. And all the harassment of your life is to build you up to a place. He said, you alone have chosen to do this job. Therefore, I'm sorry, I'll punish you for your iniquity. You depend on your uncle, I will kill him. Some of you have murdered your relatives. Your uncle has been saying, I'm sending you to America. No, are you too? God sent one angel. Look, that boy, I know why I'm frustrating him in Enugu where he is. Young people say, this country is not right. A brilliant boy. I knew him when he was in secondary school. He had A1 in 59 subjects. Only him. You know, this boy. Because I'm warning you. This guy is going to sit down in that town. The people like him should be ruling the country. He will not rule anything. He's a prophet. As your uncle, they arrange your visa and I go kill him. Next person who won't help you. Better warn them ahead. Say, okay, uncle, I love all of you. I'm sorry. Because God don't see. If they don't stop pressuring this boy, what I'm telling you is not a joke. A man took Abraham's wife after Abraham lied. And God almost wrecked his family.
The man said, but the guy says it's my sister. He said, that is why I am talking to you. Well, you know that he was the one that said it's his sister. All of you are dead by now. Have you been like Luke Abraham say, you're a wicked soul. Carry your wife and go. When he came to Pharaoh, the same thing. A plague was released into Pharaoh's household. Why? Because he was saying, don't touch my anointed. I need him, I need her. Don't touch my anointed. There are people that is money that's touching the anointed, so God renders them poor. Say, don't touch my anointed. Money, get away. I have things for this guy to do. The world is not about enjoyment. It's about bringing divine order into existence. My brethren, Chris Evans said something last time we were speaking. He said, from now on, Christians, fast your words. So that is the fast you need, your words. It's not everything you say. It's not everything you repeat. It's not everything you forward. I have a new habit. You forward me rubbish. I watch you first time, second time, third time, I block you. You won't know why your messages are not dropping on my phone. You have been blocked. Because right now, they say, fast your words. Why do we need to fast our words, like Chris Devon was saying? Because it is with these words you will carry out the assignment of God. Like I said, every man, you need to grab your seat in inner circle. Inner circle seats are grabbed by spending more time studying the scripture. God still breathes himself into us through the recorded word. Forget us as enemies. They're not your problem. You need to wake up. I don't know why I just felt like saying 4 a.m. You normally go out of the house by 6. 4 to 5. Get out somewhere quiet. And take scripture first of all and just read generally. Declare the word generally about your life. And occasionally start focusing on one area that God has placed you inside. Maybe by virtue of your profession, by virtue of your ministry. And you start understanding the word of God in that area. It builds you up gradually until you can take your seat in the inner circle. Listen, those who cause things to happen on the earth, many of the times, Jesus said they pray in their closets. Don't forget where I began from. The words were framed by the word of God. What you and I are uttering as the word of God is what is framing what will happen next. Like I said, you can face the facts all you want, but just know it is only faith that will shape the next set of facts that are going to come to pass. I hope you got my point. I think I've scratched the surface small. Next time, we'll dig deeper into it. Man, tell your neighbor, you have work. Say, come walk. No, tell your neighbor, come walk. No, become chop. Let's get that proverb correctly in Christianity. In this one, Christianity is not come chop. We have behaved as if it's come chop. It's not come chop. Christianity is what? Come walk. Christianity is what? It is what? For American audience, let's speak good English. It is what? Come and work. That's a job to do. Hallelujah. But you know, Nigerian English is the best in the world. It makes things easy. Come walk. I mean, just come walk. We get the point. That is why, listen, let me just say, some of you think that when God's always promoting you, amen. And that is true. God is always promoting you, amen. If you believe that, say amen. You can leave a job of ₦1 million a month and God gives you one of 55,000. And it is promotion. And it is promotion. Say, arise from the awe of Chaldee or Chaldee, whatever. Awe of Chaldee, get up and get out. Where are you going to? You will live in tents all the days of your life. What about my mansion? Forget the mansion. Let me show you pictures. What you call pictures, a mansion. Now, let me show you that in the days of your descendants, even their slaves will not stay there. And you see one high-rise, what they call a Trump Tower. You say, what is this? So will your descendants be. Abraham looked the building in awe. He looked Trump Tower. He said, God, what do you want? God said, follow me. But I'm not the one that will live in it. Those men, God put a spirit in them. They were more concerned about their descendants than themselves. Oh, go and read them. Read their story. When Jacob wanted to leave Laban, go and see his argument. He was okay in the house of Laban. He said, I'm okay. He said, but when am I going to go and prepare an inheritance for my descendants? That was why he left Laban. That whatever I do here is for your children. He said, I need to go and prepare an inheritance for my children. So when you told men like that, this is what your descendants will be like. They run after you. There's a spirit God puts in each generation.
Each generation has its own spirit by God. That generation, their spirit was our descendants. Don't forget, the earth was sparsely populated. Each man said, what will happen? God just poured that spirit inside them. They were concerned. So the Lord called Abraham and said, so will your descendants be. And let me tell you the truth. Many things you take for granted now. You are sitting down here comfortably in a hot environment. AC is cooling the whole atmosphere. Some of the technology we are calling disturbance, noise on the road. For them to come into existence, men had to believe God. And what am I saying? You have to bring something to existence. And for many people, you have to leave all and go somewhere else so that you have the power to prophesy. It's a good thing you're in Nigeria. Many of you, if you're in America, me, I'm sure of that one. I will not be able to prophesy like this. No, I can't prophesy like this. Is it bad to be an American? No. I will have had a word for them. Are you getting my point? But I'm not an American. I'm a Nigerian. And my ability to prophesy is tied to where I am right now. So when God wanted to make me, call the painter. Give me black paint. Give me black paint. Mix them with small varnish. Make it shine. Say, make me a nigger.
Yeah, you get my point.
And that's where we are. The Lord is good. Let's bow down our heads and let's prophesy. Let's say, Lord, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for understanding. Just thank you for understanding. Thank you for understanding. Oh, now you know what you are. A prophet. Inner circle. If they have been in my inner circle, he said. Inner circle. Say, Lord, thank you.